If I am right, there is no argument. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. If I am right, there is no argument. Now, what does it mean if I am right, there's no argument? There should be never an argument whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. Because the teacher is always right. The boss is always right. Mama is always right. Daddy is always right. It has nothing to do with what's right or wrong. It's a matter of what is the rule. Is Daddy always right? Well, Daddy doesn't know. He did that wrong. He didn't realize that we had all gone out and bought him presents, and it was his birthday, and then he didn't come home till late. He didn't know. And Daddy said, "Yes, I did. I gave you time to get everything ready. I let you have a little bit of time for enthusiasm and so forth to see what's going on. But, of course, that's not right. If I'm right, there's no argument." Now, let's look at that from another point of view. If I say to you, it's 6 o'clock, and you look at your watch, and you say, no, it's not. I took a nap this afternoon, and when I laid down, it was 3 o'clock. And so then, or whether it was 4 o'clock or whatever time it was, and so then I didn't look at the clock that was by me. I looked at the clock on the wall. So then the phone rang, and I looked at the clock, and it was 4:15 or something like that. And I thought, what's this here, 4:15? I looked up at the other clock, and it was 10 after 4. And then it said a.m., and I thought, what's this? Well, what had happened that during the night, the power went off, and I didn't realize it, and it had changed my clocks. And so I corrected my clocks. But now, if you had talked to me, and you said, Herb, what time is it? And I look at that clock, and it was faulty, and I'd tell you what it said, it'd be wrong. It'd be wrong. If I'm right, there's no argument. Now, was I right in giving you the faulty time? It was the time that I had from the clock that I believed in, and until I looked at the clock and saw the numbers pulsing on it, I didn't realize that, hey, that had been turned off and back on again. Now, was I right in that respect? Yes, I was right. I gave you the time that I had. I gave you the time that I knew. Now, you said, but that wasn't the real time. Well, it was the time that I had. It was a time that I knew. It was a time that I thought about. Now, was that right? Yes, it was right. Now you say, but by the time, you know, in Greenwich time, it's wrong. By the Colorado time, it's wrong. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Because that's the time that I have. That's the time that I was going by. Now, was I being dishonest with you? Was I trying to make you believe something that wasn't true? Was I giving you my very best by looking at my clock and seeing what it said, but it said it correctly? You see, if we live in the now, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. I can say to you that San Francisco is south of San Diego, and you'll say, that's interesting. And then right away your mind puts it south of San Diego, and you think, that'd be interesting, it'd be down Tijuana. That'd create an interesting situation. I'm sure that the Mexicans would find that very desirable, having San Francisco down in Tijuana. Just imagine San Francisco with all of its fabulous qualities, beautiful homes, with its wonderful seaports, with its wonderful Golden Gate Bridge, with its wonderful, what do you call it, Silicon City type stuff, you know, with the big money invested in it. And then what is the team that plays up in San Francisco, the football team that plays up there? They'd now be south of the border. Wouldn't that be fascinating? Wouldn't it be a whole change in our attitude? You see, you don't argue with it. You just let it be an imaginative thing in your mind. And for a moment, for a moment, that's where San Francisco is. It's south of San Diego, for a moment. But you say, but it's not really true. But it was true for you. For a moment, you visualized it down there. For a moment, you visualized it in that location. Now, what is the benefit of doing that? The benefit of doing that is that you're not possessed by appearances. Is it appearance that San Francisco is midway up the state? That's an appearance. Is it appearance that San Francisco is an American city? Yeah, that's an appearance. Could you visualize it as being a Mexican city south of the border? Great, beautiful, big city like that? Yeah, it'd take a little stretch of imagination to think of that, but think of what that does to you, how that opens your consciousness. You're not possessed by it being up there. So whenever anybody gives you any illusions that seem a stretch of the imagination, flow with it. Don't argue about it. Flow with it. There's a blessing to come out of it. And you see, non-possession is the first blessing. Non-judgment is the next blessing. Wow, you get two of them. One-pointedness, visualizing San Francisco south of the border. Wow. Hey, I'd like to even go down there and visit more now. Right now, Tijuana is interesting, but it takes so long to get back and forth across the border. It takes away the joy of visiting in Mexico. So if you have the imagination, you would have no border, because Mexico would be like Canada. It would be like an open nation, harmonious with the United States. And that'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be wonderful that Mexico is harmonious with the United States? That they don't need a border. We need it. We need it to keep all their people from coming up here. But so what if they all came up here? Then we'd go down there and develop it, you know, and do all sorts of beautiful things. But we're not interested in taking over other countries, because it'd be like Germany taking over East Germany. And they did not like that. East Germany didn't like it. Germany didn't like it. They should have let it be East Germany and West Germany. Let it be separated. They're separated only by words. And East Germany could easily have moved into a fine nation of imagination that we could never dream of. But it became West Germany. East Germany does not have a culture of its own. It does not have a life of its own. How many years was it under communist rule?
Since 25.
25 or better years under communist rule. Now, that's a long time. You work for a company for 25 years, and you're pretty much a company person. And if the East Germans lived under communist rule for 25 years, they pretty much had the communist attitudes in their mind, and as we know, they do. And it's not bad, but it is a little different than the West Germans. People who are considered third world countries think that their role is to hold out their hand. Instead of their role being to roll up their sleeve and prove to themselves that they can do anything anybody else can do. This is the joyous thing of considering yourself equal to the world. Now, there are many nations in this world. Would you say that Kiwat, how do you pronounce it?
Kuwait
is a third world nation? Quick.
No.
Why would you say no?
Because it's very advanced.
Well, yes, but because it's wealthy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's advanced too, but it's wealthy. And any nation that's wealthy, you don't consider it to be retarded. Now, Iraq, would you say that's an advanced nation?
No.
It's wealthy. And Iran, would you say that's an advanced nation? It's wealthy. But you see, by our standards, by what we feel the nation benefits the people, we don't call them wealthy. We call them third world, because they have placed the interest of a few above the people. And our interpretation of this is that a nation that is advanced is a nation that places the will, not will, but the benefits of the people above the few. Now, that's a very unusual thing, because even in England, that was not always the case. The king and the royalty, they received all the benefits, remember? And Europe, the same way. The Tsar and the Kaisers and the Hohenzollerns and all these big families, you know. And the Pope. The Pope was one of the richest lords in the world, you know, and still is. The Pope is next to Bill Gates. Interesting comparison there. But you see, if I'm right, there's no argument. If we would just flow with these things, if these third world countries, instead of fighting, as we were down in Nigeria and Ghana, and we told the people, I bless Nigeria, I bless Ghana. And now our ministers down there are writing to us, and they're telling us that they're singing that in their schools. They're singing that in their schools. They're singing that in their schools. The children are singing that. Now, what benefit is it for the children to sing it in their schools? They're not singing it to the administrators. Well, this is a vibration. This is an attitude. This is an attitude of the people coming from the root, the ground root level, you know, grassroot level, where the little people, the little children, are singing this. And now, as these little people get bigger, do you think they're going to think of their government as, I bless Nigeria, I bless Ghana, and the other nations of the world, wherever we're allowed to be? Do you think they'll say those things? Mm-hmm. You bet. And do you think that that nation, if at present it's not doing it, do you think that they will do it?
Sure.
They surely will. And who is to be credited for that? These young children who didn't know that their word wouldn't bring results, because they just sang the song and their word brought results. Now, their mothers and fathers might have said, yeah, that's talk Pollyanna, that's talk imagination, that does has no strength to it. But it does. You see, if I'm right, there's no argument. When you teach the little children to think positive, they are the adults of the tomorrow. When you teach the adults to think positive, that's good too. But when you teach the little children to think positive, that positivity will override anything they ever do in the future. And it's kind of exciting. So, we've sort of gone around the ballpark on, if I'm right, there's no argument. If you let yourself be non-judgmental, unpossessed, one-pointed, and untouchable about these things, you'll find that it doesn't matter whether anybody is right or wrong. It only matters that you say, hey, that's an interesting concept. Let's think about it. That's an interesting idea. Let's think about it. We have a sign here on our wall. It says, you are in school. And you think, well, my gosh, here we are, just three monks here in the monastery, four including her. And this is a school, it's a school, it's a school. Well, I say to you, the day that you, as we are learning, live in the now, without any possession, without any judgment, without any being touched by life's experience, one-pointedly, then the school won't end. You'll be the school. You'll be that teaching wherever you go, whatever you do, whether it's to the store or talking to neighbors or talking to yourself. And talking to yourself is the greatest gift you can give yourself. And you know, if I'm right, there is no argument. And I think that this is something that we can all think about very seriously, for there is benefit in it. I love you very much, and have a nice day.